About the seed and about the harvest. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 10, first of all. Luke chapter number 10. And then we're going to go over to John chapter number 4. Luke 10 and John chapter number 4. Now, my basket looks different tonight, doesn't it? Amen? Now, which would you rather have, the basket this morning or the basket tonight? I mean, the whole purpose and point of the basket is to have something in it. Amen? And so the harvest is what we're looking for. Amen? We want to see a harvest of souls. But if we want to see a harvest of souls, we got to get busy sowing the seed. That's what we must do. And so in Luke 2, in our 10, excuse me, and I'll actually start in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. John chapter number 4, that chapter where he talks with the woman at the well. And in John chapter 4 there, over in verse number 34, the disciples have gone into town. They've gone to get some food. They come back. Of course, Jesus has had the discourse with the woman at the well, and she's gone back as well. They come out, and when they come back with the food, the Bible says that they don't understand, because in verse 30, it says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now here we find Jesus is telling them about that harvest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into the message tonight. Father, I pray now you'd bless our time together. Lord, that you would just use your word to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. You know each of our hearts. You know each of our needs. And Lord, we pray that through the Holy Spirit of God and your word, Lord, that each one of us would have those needs addressed by you. Thank you now, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we now go back to the place where Jesus was here, and he talks about this harvest. I want us to understand this matter of the harvest and what it's all about. Now, this past fall, the Lord sent us throughout the Midwest. We left home, we went to Missouri to preach, we left Missouri, and we went up to the very northwestern corner of Iowa, almost near Sioux City up there. Preached at a church and revival. We left there, came back down into Indiana and through central Indiana and preached there. And then back down to Kentucky. And then when we got home the next week, we left, went back to Missouri, and then preached in Oklahoma and then in Texas and then back to Oklahoma and back home. But this was all during harvest. And everywhere we went, we were seeing the combines in the fields. I mean, like I said this morning, it's all mechanized now. It wasn't when Jesus was here on the earth. It was all by hand, other than what animals helped them do and pull the plow. But those combines were getting the harvest in. They were reaping everywhere we went, whether it was corn or soybean or whatever crop it was. And so God began to speak to my heart just about this matter of the harvest and what it involves. And so, like I said, there's actually 7 messages. I think it's 7 in this series. And we're kind of just taking 2 out of it. But I think you'll see the importance of the harvest. I pray you do. Jesus came for one purpose, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came that men, women, young people, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so out of His love for mankind, God sent His Son. And Jesus, out of that same love, went to the cross of Calvary and willingly laid down His life and died and shed His precious blood on that cross, in order that you and I could have eternal life, and any that'll come and accept Him as Savior. And so I want us to consider, first of all, here's what Jesus said in Luke 10 there, the harvest truly is great. It's great. First of all, I want you to see it's great in scope, in size. The harvest truly is great. Numerically, it is great. I mean, when you think about the numbers, you know, a farmer, when he plants a crop, he knows how many acres he's going to put out. He knows what it's going to take. And he's realizing, look, I need to get this whole crop in, and I need to not lose any of it or waste any of it because of the investment that he's made into that crop. And so we find that the numbers are great when we come to mankind. Just think about those that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I just kind of maybe jog your mind a little bit tonight to see that even here, and I have not counted to see how many we have, but when we start thinking about the numbers that's in our world and the ones who can go with the... By the way, if they're going to get saved, they got to hear the gospel. And they're not going to hear the gospel from the lost. They've got to hear the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And so we are the ones that's got to take the gospel. Lighthouse Baptist Church was planted here in order to reach this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever years ago when it was. And so as a result, the purpose was that folks would be saved. So I got to doing a little bit of figure that considering the greatness of the numbers, I began to think about it. Taylorsville, I looked it up. Taylorsville, in 2021, Taylorsville's population was 1,665. Just the little town of Taylorsville. 16, but it's grown. Because in 2010, it was like 900 and something. And so now, 1,665. Well, let's just kind of stop. I'm not sure. What, 25 maybe in here, 30 tonight? You can kind of do the numbers. And how many that would be to reach for everyone in order to reach just Taylorsville. Amen. Just that. And so as a result, we would have a great number that you and I as individuals would need to reach. But we'll take it another step. Spencer County. Spencer County is right at knocking on 20,000 people in Spencer County. Well, you take 30 people, divide that into that, and you got even bigger odds now that we need to reach. Because that's the point. That's where the seed needs to be sown. That's the ground we got to cover, is where they're at. And then, well, let's just go ahead and take another step further. Basically, Taylorsville, if I understand right, is a bedroom community for the Louisville metropolitan area. I mean, people live in Taylorsville, work in Jefferson County or Louisville. That's quite common, as I understand it. So that means, especially on this side of the southwestern side of Louisville and that. But, you know, Louisville has 639,000 people at the last census. Oh, wait a minute. 30 into 639,000. But I'm not done, though. Because the Bible says we're to go into Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that means? We're to cover everywhere. So then we go ahead and consider, what about the state? Kentucky right now, in the census that was just taken, 4.5 million people live in Kentucky. I remind you, 4.5 million souls. 4.5 million that are going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And then, You ready? Not only are we responsible for Kentucky according to Acts chapter 1, but look what we find here. It says then, if you take that another step, the United States of America is now at 330 million. 330 million. Now, praise God, you're not the only church, and our church in Bowling Green is not the only church responsible for the whole United. But I got news for you. If you take all the independent, fundamental Baptist gospel preaching churches that preach the truth, you're still going to get overwhelming odds in the sense of how many's lost compared to those that are saved. But yet we're told to go into the whole world. Oh, so that brings me to the world. November of 2022. On November, I believe it was November the 15th of 2022, the world population reached 8 billion people. 8 billion people. Souls that are going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you, in your church here, you're trying to reach those through your missionaries that are around the world. And we collectively cannot do it by ourselves, but glory to God, we can collectively and getting the gospel out by sending missionaries to those places. So I want you to see the greatness of the number, the overwhelming need of reaching folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then consider the greatness in value. Greatness in value. The harvest is a costly work. You go talk to a farmer. It costs to buy that seed. It costs to operate that equipment. You go start pricing that equipment and you're looking at some big bucks for a combine. You're looking many times at between 5 and 6 figures in buying a combine. A lot of investment is put into that crop and a lot of cost goes out, not counting the labor, the materials and the effort in order to get the gospel out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is free, but it costs to get the gospel out. It costs. This church here has cost that goes on. Why? So we can get the gospel out. And that cost is there all over when we see trying to get the Bible, a Bible printed, King James Bibles out so people can have them and read them. You think about all the expenses there in sending and getting people to the places where the gospel needs to be preached. It cost. It cost. But the greatest cost with this, it cost the precious Son of God His blood on the cross of Calvary. There's no greater expense than what He did on the cross of Calvary in the sense of paying that for you and for me. And you stop and think that all that the Lord did for us in order that the gospel and the harvest could be reached. But here's what Jesus said. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the value of one soul? One soul. Just one. And reach him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's a costly harvest as well as great. And then he said this. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Can I tell you something, folks? Sad to say, but our numbers have dwindled. Most churches I'm going to nowadays, ever since COVID, has had a hard time getting people back involved in the work of God again. People that were there backed out during that time and have not gotten back in. And many of them have gotten back in, but not to the degree that they were involved in the work of God. Going back out and knocking on doors and visitation was hurt immensely during that time. And now, this year, I've seen churches getting it started again. And they've started to try to get out with the gospel again and knock on doors and make an effort to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the laborers are few. Jesus told us that here in Luke 10. And we need but the laborers are few. I was up in Iowa. This has been several years ago. I was on the east side of Iowa. And I went up there, first time I'd ever been in Iowa. And I began to notice the cornfields. And I noticed something I'd never seen before in a cornfield. Every other row of corn, the tops were taken off of that row of corn. The tassels on the top were gone. And when I got to where I was going, I asked the preacher about it. I said, why do they do that? And he said, that's seed corn. That's seed corn. They raise that in order that it can be sown and you can have corn. It's especially grown to be seed corn. But you've got to top every other row. And so what it does is they have a tractor at that time. This has been many years ago. And there was a seat that somebody would set in that seat with a knife and a blade. And as they would go down that row, they would top those. But it was in the hottest part of the summertime when they would do it. And I was up there doing a Bible school, and I believe it was in July, and I was up there at that time, and he said, Brother Decker, we got a problem here in Iowa this year. He said, we don't have workers. He said, nobody wants to sit on the tractor seat in a hot sun with no cover other than some of them maybe an umbrella and cut the tassels off the corn. They've offered double almost what they've offered pay, and they still don't want to do it. He said, so as a result, the corn crop, they're afraid they're going to lose it this year if they don't get laborers. He said, they begin to advertise in other states. And then he said, they begin to even go and have places where people needed jobs and take buses to those places in order to hire workers and bring them here to Iowa and give them a place to stay where they had taken some old public schools and turned them into apartments just so they could get workers so that crop wouldn't be lost. Because he said if they lose that crop, many of these farmers, it's on one basis of year to year, and one bad year, it could put them under. You see, there wasn't enough workers. There just wasn't enough workers to work the crop. You know, we live in that era right now, folks, and I think it was Brother Raji, I was talking to today, when there's not enough laborers everywhere. It's not just in farming. I sat over in Shelbyville last night when my wife got here in the Shelbyville. We went over to Wendy's, and we said, well, we'll just go to Wendy's and eat. We'll go in there. And we pulled in and parked and grabbed the door handle. And couldn't get in. It was locked. And when I went through the drive-through, I asked the young lady, I said, did y'all close early? And she said, sir, we don't have enough workers to open the lobby. She said, maybe in about 2 weeks, we might have enough. You know, that's a problem where we've traveled everywhere. And they've upped the wage in order to try to draw attention. But they said, we just have a problem with workers. Same true with the spiritual need, folks. Did you know we need work? We need young men that will surrender to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I first started in the ministry almost 50 years ago now, I want you to know, when I'd go preach those camps, we'd have young men step out and come to those altars and say, God's called me to preach. We'd have young couples in our churches step out and come, God wants me to serve Him in a full-time way. And we'd see them go off. But through the years, we've seen that decline. That number has declined. Why? Because of seeking careers and jobs. And even a few years ago at a camp, had a young man come forward, and that young man came forward and surrendered his life to preach the gospel. We got back home. I said something to that boy's mother. I said, look, isn't it great? He surrendered to preach the gospel. And she said, well, really, it's not so great. I didn't really raise him to be a preacher. I wanted him to be a doctor or a lawyer where he'd be able to make money. It used to be, if you ever had a son that was called to preach, you'd rejoice. What's happened? The laborers are few. The laborers are few. We have churches
that are closing their doors because there's no workers. And so, my friend, it's sad. But he says here, the laborers are few, the harvest. They've lost the vision. And we need the vision. We need to have a vision of reaching souls for Jesus Christ. We've been given a commission. We've been given a command. The Lord said we need compassion like He had in order that we can get busy. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And then he says this, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. He didn't say into the harvest. He said into His harvest. It's His harvest. You know what? We need to be in prayer. Boy, I've taught on that this morning in Sunday school, and I'm not going to go back over all that. But I want you to know when he's talking about praying the Lord of the harvest here to send forth laborers, he's talking about earnestly pleading. He's talking about, as it were, begging almost in the sense of, look, just saying, Lord, we need laborers. We need. You know, it's like coming to the place of realizing this, that hey, we just don't have enough. And going to a property owner and say, we got to have so many people in order to get this done. And we need more. We need more workers. We need folks that'll come and take and be willing to work in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to reach others. Look at Matthew 20 with me for a minute. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and here Jesus speaking, he gives them this parable, and he says in verse 1 of chapter 20, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle. And saith unto them, why stand ye here idle, here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, we go on and we find out that a lot of times emphasis is given on this particular parable because of the pay. Because those who came in at the 11th hour got paid the same as those that came at the first hour when he went out. And they were upset. But he said, is not what I have mine to do with as I please? And you got what I agreed with. He didn't lie to them. He agreed with them for that. And they got it. But I want you to see this parable, another part in this. And that is that what the Lord's saying, hey, don't stand idle. He went out that early that morning and he got laborers to go in the field, but the need was not met. He needed more laborers. So he comes back the sixth, the ninth, and then the 11th hour. He keeps coming back to that place where they would assemble if they were looking for a job. And he says to them, why have you stood here idle all day? Hey, there's a need. He said, well, I said, no man's hired us. He said, they have now. Go get in the field. Whatever's right, I'll take care of it. In other words, look, the Lord does not want us idle. He wants us busy. He wants us working in His vineyard, in His field. He wants us. Why? Because there's a need of laborers. There's a need of harvesters. There's a need of planters. There's a need of workers who will go, and how important that is. And we need to pray, God, send more laborers. We need to pray that we'll see young people start surrendering. By the way, that's not just domestically either. The numbers are declining on the mission field too. We have missionaries that went in the 50s and 60s, and now because of their age, they're having to come home, or because of their health, or, as we've had, several have gone home to glory. But we've heard them come to our pulpits the last 10 years and say, I need somebody to come. We've given our life here. We want to see the work go on. but we have nobody to take over when we're gone. What a need. What a need. And it's still there today. It's still there. And so as a result, we need to be praying, God, send labor. But let me tell you something. Be careful, because if you pray like he's saying pray, you might have the Holy Spirit say, why not you? Why not you? Why not you? And then, I want you to notice in John chapter 4. Here the woman at the well, Jesus reached her and she drank of that water that he offered her. She goes back into the town in John chapter 4 there. We looked at that. And when she goes back into town, she starts telling who this was that she met and how he knew all about her and what he said. And he starts sharing. Now, the disciples have come back. Jesus is there telling them. Now, look in verse where we stopped at. I'll just go back. Drop down to verse 39, if you would, for me. In John 4, verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Here comes the disciples, and he says to the disciples, don't say 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes. Well, what was happening? Why was he telling them to lift up their eyes? Because these Samaritans were coming out of the city to him. And he's saying to them, you don't have to wait 4 months for the harvest. It's right here. Now, it's ready. It's white unto harvest. There's people that's ready to get saved. There's people that's here. And many of them believe because of their woman, but he's trying to urge them to say, don't wait for harvest. You see, the harvest spiritually, it doesn't have to have certain gestation and growth days for the crop to come in. I mean, hey, it's a continual process. If we're sowing seed, there's seed that's coming up, and that seed is going to produce fruit, and it needs to be harvested, and it needs to be gotten in. It's very important to realize that need is there. A call to service now, it's white already unto harvest. We don't want to put off the harvest. We don't want to waste the harvest. We don't want to lose the harvest. When my mother passed away, my dad came to stay with us for some time after my mom passed away. And we had a farmer in our church, and Dad, he's one of those type guys that he was very always about things, growing things and getting things in. And my mom, she would can and freeze and do all that work. And so this farmer came to me one day at church, and my dad was standing there, and he said, Brother Decker, do you like purple-eyed peas? And I said, yeah. I said, kind of like black-eyed peas, right? He said, yeah, except they're purple. He said, I sowed a bunch of them in my field. And he said, man, they came up and did great. And he said, we've got all we want. He said, my wife's put them in the freezer. My daughter's got them. My son's got them. And there's still a bunch. If you like some purple eyed peas, Brother Decker, go out there and help yourself. Next morning, my dad, first thing when my dad got up, he said, son, are you going to get them purple eyed peas? I said, well, Dad, I was thinking about it. He said, well, you know, the man said they're ready and he's going to till them under if nobody gets them. And I said, yeah, Dad, we'll go get them. So Denise and I and my dad, we took us 3 5-gallon buckets. And we got over there and started picking those purple eyed peas. You know what happens when you start doing that? Your fingertips turn purple. And so when I was a kid, I didn't like black eyed peas. But something happened to my taste as I got older. I love black eyed peas now. And so as a result, though, I filled up the 3 buckets. And I said, Dad, it's time to go. Oh, he said, son, we can't leave. He said, there's too many peas here. They need to be picked. I said, Dad, we've got 3 buckets full. Denise is going to have to freeze them and get them ready, and we got to shell them and hull them out. And he said, well, we can do that. But he said, we can't. That wouldn't be right to leave these and let them go to waste. And I said, Dad, but we got all we can handle. Finally, I convinced him, and we got in the car and we left. Next morning, my dad was up bright and early. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I'm going down there and pick the rest of them purple-eyed peas. I said, Dad. He said, yes, somebody can use them. You can give them to somebody else. But I can't stand to see something waste. He said, man, that's good food and somebody could use that. And you know, he went down there and took his truck and he went down there. And you know what he did? He pulled the plants up and threw them in the back of his truck because he said the man was going to plow them under. And so he just pulled them up and brought them home. And he said, now we can just pick them all day long if we want to. And so we picked every one of those peas off of those vines. I mean, we did. And we gave them to other people and she froze them and we ate them. But my dad could not understand wasting anything. Came out of the Depression era. When you come out of that as a young person, I tell you what, it gives you appreciation for what you have. But he couldn't stand to waste. Folks, that's why Jesus came from heaven. He didn't want souls to be lost in an awful place called hell. Think about all the wasted lives unless they're reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to go. We've got to plant. Why? Because, look, we want to see the harvest, man. What a blessing. Hey, can I ask you a question? Did this get anybody's attention in here when you came into the auditorium? How many of you saw this when you came into the auditorium? Yeah. You know why? Because you see something up here, and the first, man, what is that? What's in that basket? Where'd that come from? And what, you know, is it real or is it art? It's all real. Amen. It's there. It's all real. And it's edible vegetables and fruit that are there. And I'm going to tell you, in the summertime, when I pastored in Scottsville, you know what? Didn't get a big salary or anything like that. But in the summertime, I'd go out to my car and the back seat would be loaded. Squash, tomatoes, okra, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Hey, look, it was food. And man, what a blessing it was to see it, because why? The crop had come in. I mean, just think, man. This morning I showed you the seed. Whoa! Amen! You can't see it, but it's in here. Amen? Yeah, that's exactly where this came from, a seed. And it's all right there. But it's got to be planted in order for it to do this. It's got to be put in the ground. It's got to be fed and nurtured in that ground so it can shoot forth and bring forth this. And so you and I, hey, we need to be nurtured in the Lord and growing in the Lord. Why? So we can produce fruit for the Lord and to His glory and His honor. I was preaching this, up in Iowa, where I told you I went up in northwest Iowa. There's a church up there. It's a small church. It's in a small town. I may have told you about it when I was here in October. I'm not sure. But it was started about 15 years ago because there was no Baptist church in that town. Only Catholic and Lutherans. That's the two main churches. And I went up there years ago when they started the church, Andrew, Denise, and I, and we knocked doors with them. I got to be honest with you. I had more doors shut in my face or people walk away from the door in that little bitty town in that 1 week than I did my whole ministry. They just wasn't interested. When you said, I'm from the Baptist church, they were done. They didn't want to hear. But this preacher and his family has been faithful up there. They've been faithful. They'll reach some people, but then they move off to bigger cities where the work is and everything. And their numbers will go back down. And it would go up and down. Every year I'd go up and preach a revival. Saw God bless that work. Physically, I saw God bless that work. Gave them the largest church building in the city. Practically gave it to them. And that's a whole story in itself, and I won't take time to tell you the whole story. But they was looking for a building and ended up getting a church building fully furnished where Billy Sunday preached in the early 1900s. And they got that building. They bought it for $25,000, and then the people they bought it from turned around and sent them $10,000 back so they could get the roof fixed on it. So they bought that whole building for $15,000 with everything in it. But they were not filling it. I preach a message called, You Want a Clean Barn or a Full Barn? It's part of the harvest. part of the harvest. Can't have a clean barn and a full barn, an active barn. You got animals in there, you got crops in there, it's going to get dirty. But what I'm talking about is the fact of just, in Proverbs there, where the ox is. That's where the power is, but if you want a clean Saul, then you can't put an ox in there. So we talked about filling the barn and filling the barn up with a crop, harvest. Wednesday night, a teenage girl came. She hadn't been since COVID. She was coming. And that night, she sat, and I could tell God was working on her heart. She came back Thursday night. She came back Friday night. Pastor's daughter was taking her home on Friday night. Pulled there were in front of her house where she lived. She asked her, she said, "Has God spoken to your heart about anything this week?" And she said, "He sure has." She said, "Why?" Well, she said, "First of all, I need to get back in church again." Pastor's daughter said, "You're right, you do." She said, "What else?" She said, "Well, to be honest with you, I need to be saved. I've never been saved." And the pastor's daughter got a leader of Christ that night. She got saved. That teenage girl on Sunday brought three more teenagers. And that Sunday they came to the pastor. Two of the three came to the pastor. So what do we need to do to get saved? We know we need to be saved. Pastor explained it to them, but did not push them. But later on, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of those girls was a girl that, my mind just went blank in her name. You know, what is it? Nevada. Nevada got a real burden. God broke her heart. She got saved. About a week later, Nevada came. She brought three visitors. During the invitation, those three visitors came forward and said they wanted to make it public they'd gotten saved. Pastors talked with them and questioned them. Found out that Nevada had told them about Jesus and had shared the gospel with them. And the pastor said to Nevada, "Nevada, what did you do? What did you tell these young people?" She said, "Pastor, I did the very same thing you did with me. I sat them down and explained, using the same scriptures right here that you used with me, that they were sinners, and as sinners, they were going to go to hell unless they trusted Jesus as their Savior. And I explained the gospel, and I explained that Jesus died for them on the cross." And she said, "Pastor, they all got on their knees, and they prayed at different times asking Jesus Christ to come to their heart and save them." Do you know that little church was running about 25 to 30 people during that revival? Pastor got so excited, they had some 11 or 12 that got saved in just a few weeks. Not just young people, parents that came, and parents that got saved. He called me so excited. He said, "Brother Decker, we had 55 today in church." The next week, they had 50-something again. And God is continuing to work there all those years, 15 years. You know what they've done for 15 years? Sowed seed, sowed seed, sowed seed. You know what they're doing right now? They're getting the harvest. And they're getting to reap the harvest. And they've had people come. He said, "Brother Decker, I can't even explain it. People that's lived right down from the church for all this time. And all of a sudden they've showed up at church." And God's got it. There's a lady working there in a truck stop where one of their men drives a truck and he goes in there. She ended up coming to church and then asked the pastor to come to where she worked and talk to her and explain to her what salvation meant and how she could be saved. You know what? That's a harvest. That's a harvest. But it all started with a seed. It all started with sowing. It all started with people who were willing to take and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, the harvest truly is great. It's great harvest. But can I tell you something? That didn't just jump in the basket. Be great, wouldn't it? Amen? You know, how many of you have raised a garden? Did it walk in the house? No. You had to go pick it. You had to go pick it and bring it in. Yeah, I bought this at the store, but I got news for you. Somebody picked it. There was work, there was labor involved in getting it to the store. And then even from the store to me, there was labor involved. We had to go get it. And my wife put it in the basket. Sweet potatoes, pears, peppers, zucchini, squash, oranges, sweet corn, grapes, radishes, watermelon. Yeah, a harvest. That's a harvest. But it took work. No work, no harvest. No sowing, no reaping. We're living, I believe, in the last days, folks. I believe with all my heart Jesus is coming soon. And He is coming, whether it's in my lifetime or not, I don't know, but He definitely is coming. But I want you to know something. The harvest is going to waste unless somebody says, let's go after it. Let's just get out there. Let's go. And let's try to get as many in as we can. Bring them into the house of God. Let them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be saved. Oh, how important that we get involved. Everywhere we go is the field. The world is the field. You'll go to work tomorrow. Did you know there's probably some fruit there that needs to be harvested at your job? Somebody needs to hear about Jesus and know they need to be saved. Young people, you'll go to school, no doubt they're there. They need to hear about Jesus. But oh, they may laugh at me. They may say something. Yeah, they may. But I'm going to tell you what, if it'll keep them from going to hell, it'll be well worth it. Well worth it. We need to realize the harvest truly is great. And the laborers are few. Your new pastor's coming. Man, and as he comes and leads you, just get busy in getting folks in. Getting them in. You know, if it can happen to a little church in Iowa, it can happen anywhere. Yeah. Because that's who our God is. And that's what. And I firmly believe with all my heart, I told that pastor, brother, He's rewarding your faithfulness. He's rewarding your efforts here. You thought going out, knocking on the doors, getting doors shut in your face, that you wasn't accomplishing anything. Now you're seeing that was not true. Because what they're saying when they come is, I came just to find out what's going on down here. I came to find out what this church is all about. And you know one of the number one questions he gets asked? What does being saved mean? What does salvation mean? Man, what a great question. Amen. Don't you wish everybody come up to you and ask you that question? Man, that's like jumping in a basket almost. Let's go and get them. Fields are white, already to harvest. Don't say 4 months. Don't say spring's coming and then fall. And then no. When it comes to souls, they're white right now. It's ready. They're ready. And they need to hear. Let's bow our heads. The songwriter said, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. We need to go and bring them in. Me and my wife added two words into that hymn that we heard another church do. When we start singing that song in that chorus, we add two words. Go out and bring them in. We can't bring them in unless we go out to where they are and bring them in. May God help us to be soul conscious everywhere we go and be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's a harvest there. It's available. It's there. But somebody's got to go and harvest and gather and reap and bring it in. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I'm going to pray. We'll sing. I don't know how God's worked in hearts. Should there be one here that's not saved, you come tonight. We'll take the gospel of Jesus Christ, take the Word of God, show you how you can get that settled. But I realize primarily I'm talking for the most part to those that are saved. And may God help us to have a burden for the lost. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into the harvest, that we can see others come and get saved. Father, I come to you. I thank you, Lord, that somebody came to me. Lord, that young man carrying that family Bible, Lord, sowed the seed in my heart. God, I thank you then, Lord, that at a later time, it was part of a harvest, Lord, of coming to the place of trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, I pray tonight, help each one of us that are saved have a greater desire to want to see the harvest. And Lord, to be willing to put forth the effort and the labor that's needed to do that. Lord, it can't help it if we don't go out into the field. If we don't go out with the seed, which the seed is the Word, and take it to those that are around about us so that we can see a harvest of souls. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.